The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
As you know perfectly well, I'm a journalist and a reporter, and I follow the facts.
Russia hacking the election to elect Trump is the end of our democracy. Votes were definitely affected. Russia hacked the election to tilt it to Mr. Trump.
The Russians definitively hacked the election.
Russia did hack the election.
No doubt. The Russians hacked the election.
Yes. Russia hacked the election.
Fact, Russia hacked the election.
President-elect Donald Trump still not sounding convinced that Russia hacked the election.
Russia interfered in the 2016 election.
With him, all roads lead to Putin.
The Russians were, in fact, aiming to help Donald Trump in the election.
There was this elaborate and intricate web of connections and contacts between Donald Trump's campaign in 2016 and Russia.
That has now been borne out by ample evidence.
President Trump says he still wonders if the Russians hacked the election.
If you can get him to accept that Russia hacked the election, see if you can get him to accept who won the Civil War.
If he admits it, it casts a shadow on his victory over Hillary Clinton.
Russia
hacked the election, and Russia is doing it again now.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
The Kremlin, meaning Putin and the Russian government, are directing the attacks, the hacking on American accounts to influence our election.
There's no doubt that the Russians did interfere in the election. And I think the interference, although not yet quantified, if fully investigated, would show that Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016. He lost the election, and he was put in the office because the Russians interfered.
Can you win with Russian interference, though?
That's the real thing.
I'm scared about in 2020.
But rightly.
Because I think he's an illegitimate president that didn't really win.
Trump knows he's an illegitimate president.
The president elect, although legally elected, is not legitimate.
We have a president who, if in fact it is proven, has been assisted by the Russians and may in fact not be a legitimate president.
Do you believe Trump is a legitimate president?
What I believe is that there's no question that the outcome of this election was affected by the Russian interference.
So, yes, I believe that the president is compromised by the Russians.
It's stunning to see, in this day and age, a tyrant roll into a country. This is the same tyrant who attacked our democracy in 2016.
Russia hacked the election.
Let's be clear, Russia hacked the election definitively.
I don't know what the Russians have on President Trump, whether it's personal, whether it's political, whether it's financial. I don't know what it is.
You think they have something on them.
But there's no other explaining why this president of the United States is such a handmaiden of Putin.
The director of national intelligence, the head of the National Security Agency, the head of the FBI, all of these intelligence experts saying Russia hacked the election.
Who knows what a second term will be like? I think we do know. It will be Moscow's for the taking.
We will all learn to speak Russian.
This is about the Constitution of the United States. And it's important for the president to know and Putin to know, the American voters in America should decide who our president is, not Vladimir Putin in Russia.
Vladimir Putin, he pulled it off. That was a blast from the past. You're very familiar with so many of those clips. We pulled them all together yet again. As a reminder that we're living in the post-truth world. The only thing that matters is the narrative. You see the narrative there. It's so obvious. Definitive. It's definitive. The evidence is all around. And then you go from that to today to last night. Much of what President Trump presented, we already knew, but still. To go from evidence all around to zero evidence, no evidence whatsoever. That's what we're dealing with in the post-truth, post-history world. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us for today's show, the last show of the week. The live stream of this program is at our website, thetrumpet.com, also at the Rumble channel and the YouTube channel as well. Lots to get to on the Friday show, as per usual. We've got the this week's installment of World Watch. We've got some material on the Celtic Throne recap that I mentioned on yesterday's show. We'll see if we have time to squeeze it all in. So you get the narrative there from a few years ago. And then you get the response to President Trump's speech last night. Here's clip 13.
So much has been discussed today about why the president is giving this speech now.
President Trump and his allies, they challenged the 2020 election repeatedly. They lost about 60 cases in court. We know that the president tonight was talking about how he was deceived. He talked about how the American people were deceived in the 2020 election. Of course, President Trump was president at the time, and his own intelligence officials were presenting assessments to him that showed there was no widespread evidence that would have change the outcome of the election, something that his own attorney general said at the time too, Mary.
And that is such an important point.
A quick reminder to our viewers, we'll be watching tonight's presidential address and listening to what the president says tonight. But we're not going to take it live, as we've been discussing. That's because this president, sadly, has a history of misleading and in some cases simply false statements on what we've been talking about tonight, election security and integrity. Also, the White House earlier today said he would be showing newly classified documents. So we want to make sure that we have time to review those documents, talk to experts about them, contextualize whatever he says or shows before airing it. But if there is news, we will bring it to you ASAP.
So tell me about the speech last night. What did he accomplish? What did he not accomplish? And was he really just trying to lay the predicate for trying to rig the November election?
Let me just start by asking you what you made of the president's speech tonight.
Jen, yeah, I'm not saying this is a senator. I'm saying or a Democrat or whatever. As an American, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that the President of the United States tried to speak to the whole nation with a whole series of falsehoods, accusations, I believe aimed at trying to undermine America's confidence in our system.
No, I mean, I can't.
And now he's declassified. Now he's classified a bunch of documents that basically prove that what Robert Mueller said in 2016, which was there was no collusion between the two of them, but also that the Russians had intervened in the election on Donald Trump's behalf, and that it just happened again in 2020. The Russians like Donald Trump. They want him to win. They're on his side. That's what these documents prove with respect to Russia.
A lot of the stuff that's in these documents, the primary material, just supports the opposite. It supports the idea that Russia was the primary actor here trying to interfere with the elections. And yet none of this matters. We're in this post-truth world where Trump is obviously it matters. But we are in a post-truth world where Trump will use this stuff, all this evidence that doesn't support his claim, to create a legal rationale or political rationale to ramp up the federal government's involvement in our midterm.
So sad is that actually almost two-thirds of Republicans have just marched in lockstep. Or in an Orwellian way, to say, oh, yeah, the 2020 election was rigged, because Dear Leader has been repeating it so much. But how sad that an entire party has gone lockstep and did exactly what George Orwell warned about. The party tells you not to use your ears, not to use your eyes, to just blindly follow Dear Leader. And this is where it leads you. It leads you down a pack of lies. Good luck with that.
I think they know they're boxed in here. They're being exposed. And yet you know their response is going to be exactly as that. And what occurred to me as I was watching that, where were the Republicans, the conservatives, when Obama and Clapper and Brennan came out in 2016 and 17 and said, hey, yeah, we hurriedly put together this intel assessment. Guess what we found out? Putin. Russia, Russia, Russia. Where were the Republican senators saying, this is ridiculous. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by what Barack Obama is suggesting. But they just take everything they say. They never push back. And then when you see truth presented, look at how viciously they push back. These people, I'm not saying the other side is without bias, far from it.
But as we've noted so many times before, what made President Trump stand out more than any of his Republican colleagues or competitors when he was running for office in 2016 or turning his head away from bullets in 2021, what makes him stand out is his courage to fight, his courage to at least push back, to not just take the statements, the accusations, the vicious accusations in stride and say, well, now let's be nice and gentle about how we react to this. They will push back, the radical left. They're all talking from the same talking points. As I say, so predictable. But listen to one of them. I forget the name. We're actually not going to play the speech. We're going to review the documents first, and then we're going to get the expert analysis. It's not just the age of post-truth. It's the age of will worship. We'll look through the documents first. We'll comb through them. We'll listen to the speech. We're not going to let you see it. And then we'll tell you what to believe. This was CBS, by the way, cutting away from the president's remarks as he was really giving it to the regime media. Clip 18.
All we want is honesty in our elections and honesty in reporting. They pay nothing for multi-billion dollar assets. Great damage has been done to our country, our election.
You've been listening to President Donald Trump in the East Room addressing what he says is what is necessary to secure American elections. I want to go back to Major Garrett here. You've been listening along with me. He took some big swings at China.
CNN can't show it. CBS has to break away. As soon as he starts talking about honest reporting, by the way, can't stand it. I mean, this is the regime media. We're here to tell you what to believe. I didn't even come in wanting to talk about the media. I spent enough time on that yesterday. Here's one more bit. Jonathan Carl at ABC dismissing the documents, the evidence, clip 12.
The president made some extraordinary allegations. I mean, he said that our election system, our security is catastrophically short. It dangerously exposed to hacking. When you have no trust, there is no greatness, and we can't trust our election systems. But looking through these documents, we have a lot more to look through. I don't see anything that comes anywhere near making that case. What I see is documents presented that are intended to raise doubts about our security, but nothing that suggests there is actually a security issue with our elections.
One other bit that I'll just bring out with respect to the regime media, and then I'll let it go. I'll move on, because I think there's more important points to make here today. But with all the resources, he just said there, I haven't gone through all the documents, but you know, from what I've seen, there's nothing to suggest. All it's meant to do is to cast doubt on the validity of our election process. That's Jonathan Carl. But given all of the resources, ABC, CNN, NBC, MS Now, think about what good they could do if they weren't so deranged. Trump derangement syndrome, as I said yesterday. Every subject, every topic, every item on the agenda is viewed through that lens. And so you get will worship. And so you don't get the truth. A few of the headlines. The Wall Street Journal says, Trump said the records show wrongdoing by China, alleging that its government acquired 220 million U.S. voter files beginning in the 2020 election cycle. Says the data loss presents an unprecedented election security nightmare. So I guess whether you're looking at it from the right or the left, you get the arguing today. Well, these are just files that are publicly available. What's the big deal? No, there's illicit activity, says the other side. But just imagine if it was 220 million files going to Putin back in 2016. The New York Times, Trump revisited election security. Here's What to Know. And that article, of course, is very entertaining to read. As they dismiss every single point. Trump, another one. Trump's election speech ignites a wave of furious Democratic backlash and calls for impeachment. This is how you know if you're over the target. When they start screaming for impeachment hearings, then you know that President Trump is onto something. You know it. When he gets close to the truth, when he gets close to exposing these corrupt, treasonous agents, one of them, I'll get to it in a second, one of them in the deep state said, yeah, we're running a shadow government. This is like Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. And yet they were never indicted. No handcuffs were put on them. They weren't sent off to prison. That's the big reveal. Let me just cut to the chase. That's the big reveal to the speech last night. It's not so much did China get this data illicitly or not. It's the deep state. The attack on America from within. And that's an America under attack. Yesterday, I talked about the 37-year anniversary of Malachi's message to God's church today. And I told you a little bit, it's at the end of the program if you want to go back and watch it, but I told you a little bit about what we were dealing with in the late 1980s. And all of these deep state actors in the spiritual sense, just lying. They had a shadow government in place before Mr. Armstrong even died. But when he died, then their true colors began to show, but, you know, they still lied. They still said, hey, we're modifying a few policies and principles, but we're not changing doctrines. In fact, we're carrying on with what Mr. Armstrong wanted. Mr. Armstrong told us to do this on his deathbed. And then later, well, Mr. Armstrong, he didn't know what he was doing. He was a heretic. He was out there preaching heresy. They finally came and admitted that in 1997. But for over 10 years, they lied, they deceived. The church was fundamentally transformed. And Malachi's message exposed those liars for what they were and are. And that's another big takeaway from our perspective. This is, you know, you're not going to get the same take on this program as you do MS Now or Fox News. You need the documents. You need revelation. Now, we have a lot of the documents proving their treasonous activity in raising the ruins. But this one here, this is revelation from God. That's why you need the Bible as the foundation. And then, yeah, when all the evidence rolls in, put that out there too. And President Trump, for his part, is trying to make that available. But then the other thing, who is going to be held to account? They made off with the millions and millions and millions of dollars, the Laodicean ministers. They made off with it like bandits. But God holds them to account. And they were exposed in Malachi's message. And Barack Hussein Obama's attempt to overthrow the United States of America from within, that was exposed in this book. You need revelation from God to go with declassified documents. You need God's perspective to be able to get to the truth. Because to use the Bible language, we've been talking about post-truth. We're living in an age when truth has been cast to the ground. Truth is being blotted out. History's being revised. Post-history. That's the age we're in. This one from, I forget the source, the news media at NBC, ABC, and CNN decided in advance that President Trump could not be trusted to tell the truth about the Titanic hitting America's election iceberg. He just cannot be trusted. So they're giving him the same, over one speech, they're giving him the same treatment. that they did on January, what was it, January 8th, 2021? Blot them out. Michelle Obama getting on the phone, telling Zuckerberg and all the social media titans, you got to cancel his accounts. Same way they did with Hunter's laptop. Just blot out the New York Post. Because the laptop, remember this? The laptop is Russian disinformation. And you know why we know this? Well, because the intel community told us. Something like 50 guys signed a document saying it's Russian disinformation, including Brennan. And now all that you hear is, yeah, but it's okay. The intel community, they agreed on the text for the speech last night. But you have to remember, it's Trump's intel community, and they can't be trusted. So there you go. It's all about the narrative, isn't it? They decide in advance that they just can't, they can't let you see it, at least on their network. We've got to look at the documents first and make sure, and then get the expert analysis, because the experts are right. They're always right. And if the deep state people were preventing Trump from seeing some information in his daily briefs, well, then so be it. That's their job. And they are not political whatsoever. Post-truth. China makes no bones about the fact that they spy and they try to manipulate elections. So as I say, some of this wasn't exactly new revelation last night. Trump said over a period of years, starting during the 2020 election cycle, the People's Republic of China carried out what is believed to be the largest compromise of election data in history, resulting in China's illicit acquisition of 220 million U.S. voter files. So the left will say, no, it's out there. It's available for the public. The right, as I heard this morning, says, no, they actually got into the files and were working to manipulate the files. Now, he didn't get into evidence of them actually tampering with the 2020 election. But they didn't even get into COVID. He didn't talk about COVID and how the CCP and the radical left and Fauci and all those guys used the scaremongering. They used the disease as a weapon to get all of those mail-in ballots out. Tens of millions of, and you know where that's discussed? That's right here in America Under Attack. I suspect that China had multiple ways to go about helping the radical left rig the 2020 election. And once COVID hit in March, what was it, March of 2020? Well, they had everything that they needed because the clampdown began. Everybody had to stay locked in their basement. You couldn't go to the polls in November. It's too dangerous. So we'll just put the ballots everywhere. And then we'll have ballot harvesters everywhere. And we'll have the mules everywhere, stuffing the ballot boxes everywhere, especially in the swing states. That was exposed in Dinesh D'Souza's documentary. But what did Scarborough think about that? No evidence. Okay, got it. No evidence, no evidence, no evidence. The evidence is all around. 278,000 non-citizens registered to vote in U.S. elections, and I've already heard multiple regime media outlets say, well, but 278,000 out of how many millions? That's a sliver. We could, the translation is, we can deal with a little bit of cheating. This is the biggest takeaway. Our news gatherers wrote, reasonable people will disagree about the credibility or importance of a piece of intelligence. These agencies cannot pass absolutely everything on to the president. It would be a fire hose of data. So the radical left is saying, of course, the intel community has to be selective with what goes into the president's daily briefings. And then I heard one yesterday that said a lot of the information that they have is
It's not even the truth. So, of course, they're not going to just throw everything out there. Now, you see, that's why everything has to be kept confidential. So that we in the regime media can tell you what the truth is. And then, well, now the documents start coming out. Contradicts their narrative. And you see their reaction. Their heads explode. This summary here. They do need to filter out unreliable or unimportant information. But that's not what happened here. Consider these exchanges. These are internal communications revealed yesterday. These are deep state communications. These are not some documents that we don't know if it's true or not. This is an exchange between people working in the government, while President Trump was president. We have deliberately massaged our one pending presidential daily briefing to avoid any direct links to the election. That's one U.S. government bureaucrat saying we have massaged the briefings, trying to steer POTUS away from anything having to do with the election. It says the massive report we've been waiting on has been chopped up into 13 reports. Many, all of them, will be cross-posted or downgraded, says one email. Another email criticized that decision, saying it is highly irregular way to do things, yet the massaging went ahead anyway. Another one says, I'm basically running a shadow government across the FBI at this point. That's from the Deputy Assistant Director of the FBI's Counterintelligence Branch, Nikki Flores. We know the lady's name. Is she in handcuffs? Is she going to be held to account? You know, that's the other big takeaway from the speech last night, is how weak it was at the end. Okay, so now we know all of this. Are people going to be indicted? Are people going to be handcuffed? Instead, you get to the end of President Trump's speech, and what does he say? Call your local congressman and make sure we can get the SAVE Act passed. No, actually, people need to go to jail. This is a woman admitting an email. Her name is there. We know. I don't even think she works for the government anymore. I think she's got this posh job at Google. So she should be in jail, right? Running a shadow government? While President Trump was the president of the United States, massaging away all the material, all the documents, all the evidence. How do you suppose those talking heads would react to someone saying during the Obama years, yeah, I'm basically having to run a shadow government here to keep this man from radically transforming the United States of America? I mean, given what Obama's objective was, it's shocking that there weren't more in the so-called deep state that actually did say those kinds of things. We have to stop him. He's shredding the Constitution. Did anyone say that? If anyone thought that, they would have been terrified, absolutely terrified at the thought of saying it openly about the dear leader. Can't do that, because they'll come after you. They'll put you in jail. Look at what they did with President Trump. They tried to put him in prison for estimating the worth of Mar-a-Lago. And then they tried to assassinate him. So let's talk about whether or not these people would be willing to do something as nefarious as rig a U.S. election. Well, just read through this book. Now that President Trump is back, we don't refer to it enough. But the big reveal, the two big reveals last night. America has been under attack, and then the attackers have not been held to account. No, they can talk openly about shadow government this and massaging the presidential briefings this, and it's no problem.
In fact, they can create a fake Russia collusion hoax and get away with it. They can tell you Hunter's laptop is Russian disinformation and keep telling the lie. Well, how long did it go? 18 months before they finally, the regime media finally said, okay, yeah, it actually did belong to Hunter. 18, but be see, that's why the comment I made yesterday, it's ancient history, or it was in a clip. That's why they lie and they put it off for as long as it's just like the Tekachas did. No, we're God's just opening our minds. We're just seeing things a little more deeply, but we're following right in the steps of Herbert Armstrong. And then 11 years later, they admit what they did. Because by that point, it's ancient history. You hear people say today, you can't go back and relive. Even some of the people who support President Trump on Bannon Show today. Listen, Trump didn't say we need to relitigate this. And that's the problem. It's weak. Yeah, go back and litigate it. If the courts dismissed it 5-6 years ago, well, if you've got more evidence now, go back and relitigate it. But he's not saying that. That would be too strong. What is he saying? What is the big takeaway from his standpoint? It's call your local congressman. Really? That's the takeaway? After you lay all of this out there? And Nikki Flores, I guess she just keeps right on working at Google or wherever she works in big media, big tech. I guess so. This is a vicious attack. And of course, as this book brings out, the devil is behind it. That's the other dimension that no one understands. That's why you need the documents. Roll out the documents by all means. And you need the revelation. And you know what else you need? You need God's government holding people to account, punishing people for wrongdoing, so that more people don't come along and get away with the very same thing. You think the SAVE Act is going to save America? There's a lot of different ways to cheat. And we've certainly seen that in last night's speech. And in the last 6 years, this was Catherine Herridge, her takeaway from the president's speech, clip 14.
So in the summer of 2020, as we're heading into the election, in the intelligence community, there were indicators of this Chinese influence operation. Influence operations means that you're trying to affect the outcome of how people vote or their sentiment about a presidential candidate. It's different than an interference operation, which is penetrating voting rolls and voter systems. And this whistleblower was raising the alarm about the influence operation, and then suddenly it all was suppressed. My understanding is that some of their reports, there were in officials' own handwriting that they wanted everything out that could help President Trump in his reelection. So there was clear evidence of political and personal bias, and intelligence is supposed to be neutral. So what we heard tonight from the president is an allegation that this intelligence was suppressed in order to harm him, and now we're seeing documents already which back up those claims.
Yeah, we're seeing the documents now. Okay, so China didn't penetrate the election, but it was trying to influence it. And then you had the influencers in the deep state trying to keep President Trump from seeing that information. Can't do anything or say anything in his briefings that would make him think that they're trying to come after me illegally. We've got to make them think that the election is perfect. That's what Chris Krebs said after the fact. What about all those people, by the way, who said it was perfect? Just the 278,000 illegals on the voter rolls, to say nothing of all the dead people. This is just the tip of the iceberg. You know this. They suppressed it. That's criminal. That's criminal behavior for sure. But then, you know, maybe I'll just get out of the deep state now and go off and work in Silicon Valley, make millions there. This is John Solomon's take, clip 10.
What's important about tonight is to understand actionable intelligence, things that actually affected our security of our elections were not being told to the president. They were not being told to Congress. Policymakers couldn't make a decision because bureaucrats decided they were more important than a president or a congressman. And I'm very concerned about that ethos, because if it does it in elections, what about a foreign power, a war? What if someone doesn't want to tell the president about something else? There's a cultural stain in the intelligence community that this data shows. Now, we're going to have to go back and look at other issues and see if this was a pattern in other forms of intelligence. Some of the information that we found, the intelligence chiefs themselves said, I didn't know about this. First time I'm seeing it. I should have known about it. I think that's where this mystery starts next, or where it goes next. We need to figure out how actionable intelligence, things that are important, aren't getting to the people who should have it. Under the Constitution, the people entrusted with our security, the president and Congress. Then we have to figure out, why would a case like the one the president mentioned in Michigan not get prosecuted? Then we have to understand, why did we go 6 years with election machines that people knew were vulnerable? I just heard Mark Warner said, oh, I knew the machines were vulnerable. Well, what'd you do for the last 6 years? Earn your salary in the Senate, go get them fixed. Those are the things that are really troubling. And the truth of the matter is, most of the briefings that the president got didn't have any of this in there. There's one document I saw, it's like 39 really important things that the intelligence community found about China and election meddling in 2020. Only five were ever briefed to a president. Only five. That means 34 very important things, things that the CIA thought were important, they were being suppressed from a president. That is criminal from a national security standpoint.
And probably criminal as well from a judicial standpoint. But either way, all the bad guys got away with it, didn't they? It shows you how honest and truthful those statements were going back to 2015 and 16 when President Trump was talking about the deep state, the swamp. And by the way, China. He spent a lot of time talking about China and how it was an enemy of America. He was spot on in the way he campaigned. And here he came from no political background whatsoever, other than that he certainly worked with a lot of politicians, but he was never a politician himself. It's remarkable. It's like my father says in Great Again, he does have a special ability to identify evil. Now, you put that together with, as I say, revelation from God. But even there, it takes the government of God, doesn't it? It takes law enforcement to crack down on this evil, or else the situation just worsens. And that's what we're looking at. The fact that you can't even get half in Congress to agree to the SAVE Act. And now here comes this desperate plea from the president to try to get you to call your local congressman in the hope that we can just get it across the finish line somehow. And John Thune and all of those people watering it down. That's probably what'll happen. It'll get watered down to where it's really nothing. It doesn't have any teeth behind it. And then it'll stagger across the finish line and everybody can celebrate. We did it. We did it. From here on out, every election is going to be secure. Listen to President Trump from last night. This is clip one.
Over a period of years, starting during the 2020 election cycle, the People's Republic of China carried out what is believed to be the largest compromise of election data in history, resulting in China's illicit acquisition of 220 million U.S. voter files. That information includes names, addresses, phone numbers, political party preferences, and other sensitive data that would be needed to register to vote and engage in other nefarious activities, which is exactly what was happening. This data loss presents an unprecedented election security nightmare. The intelligence even shows that China has signed a data exploitation unit specifically to this new project.
Now, to be sure, you have to connect some dots here, but it's not difficult. Look at what they had to do to tie him to Russia and Putin in 2016. They had to rely on the Steele dossier, which was just lie from beginning to end. They had to try to connect him to Putin. And then with this, just step back for a moment. Look at Hunter Biden. He's traveling with his dad to China, even when he was vice president under the dear leader, Barack Obama. And here they were just lining their pockets with Chinese money. Well, in the case of the Bidens, they lined it with Russian money, too. And it goes right across the aisles, doesn't it? All of these politicians beholden to China. The McConnell, he just recently was hospitalized, and his wife's in China talking to all these officials in China. It's unbelievable. The amount of Chinese money and influence that flows through Washington, it's mind-boggling. What's the guy's name? Peter Schwarzer, I think his name is. Entire books have been read about this. Politicians have been caught literally sleeping with the Chinese enemy, okay? Or being spied upon by a Chinese driver. And so, as I'm saying, how plausible is it that given all of the influence, the CCP influence in Washington, you think they'd like to manipulate the election? And if they're caught doing it, even just trying to influence it, you think it would be wise for the deep state to say, you know what, we better make sure that President Trump is aware of this? Because he's, after all, he's the president of the United States. No, they instead conceal it. You heard John Solomon just say right there. 39 important points on Chinese meddling, and they saw fit to just tell the president 5 of them. Shocking. This is from American Thinker. Government intelligence goes through the Chinese influence point. The second point, it says, government intelligence operatives were fully aware of China's massive election actions, but suppressed or downplayed the information about foreign interference in an American election. Here again, just contrast this with what happened in 2016 and 17, where they invented this assessment to say that Russia meddled, that Russia influenced it. And then you heard the cold open at the start. It didn't take any evidence whatsoever for Jake Tapper and company to run with that. It's all about the narrative. Every single bit of it. If it fits within the parameters of your radical narrative or agenda, then just go with it. Steele dossier, sure. They wouldn't run with it before the election. There were those that didn't even run with it in the month or two after the election. I'm talking about 2016. But while Obama was plotting on the way out, you know the story. We've taken you through all that history. What he was doing to set up all of those intel agencies to attack President Trump all through his first term, to spy on President Trump, to lie in FISA warrants, to lie to a federal judge. Yeah, it happened. Obama officials. And then you know all about Comey setting up everything so that the Mueller investigation would happen. And the investigation, as you well know, and that's brought out in America Under Attack, the investigation was meant to be a cover-up too. Target Trump, and cover up the dear leader's crimes. Cover up Obama and all of his crimes, all of his treason. Government intel operatives were fully aware of China's massive election actions, but they chose to suppress it They chose to downplay it. They chose to massage it just a little bit. You see, they're more powerful. In their minds, they're more powerful than the president of the United States. They're more important. That's will worship. Every man doing what seems right in his own eyes. That's the way the Bible describes it. Colossians 2, of course, talks about will worship. Ephesians 2:2 says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. This American thinker piece. Those of us who worried about electronic voting machines were right to worry. In many states, those machines are wide open to manipulation. That's what the president said last night. Wide open. We were told going in, no, the machines are perfect. But see, if you were watching this program, we took you back to the middle 2000s, the 2010s, where a lot of Democrats were lining up saying, can't trust the machines. The machines are easy to manipulate. And then as soon as you come around to 2020, the machines are perfect. And then here we are again. Now we know, yeah, they're not perfect. So what are you, as one individual said right there, you know, what have you, if you've known this for 6 years, Senator, why haven't you done anything about it? They actually had a hearing. I don't know if it was in the House or the Senate, a hearing on officiating at the WNBA basketball game for women. That's what Congress is spending its time with. We're $39 trillion in debt. You've got the Chinese hacking elections. You've got all of these deep state actors getting away with treason. And that's what's really important. Officiating in a women's basketball game. And what about this? Is it for senator? I forget. In Pennsylvania, I think it is. You've got this transgender man, looks completely like a man, but with long hair, wearing a dress. And he's actually in a political debate. And we're supposed to just take all this serious. Seriously. I guess this is just normal. What a spectacle. The problems are everywhere to see. But what are the solutions? Where are the solutions? Where's law enforcement? Where's justice? Where's judgment? All of it's gone. Just as it says in Isaiah 59, Isaiah 3, Isaiah 1 talks about the sickness, head to toe. And then here we have all these revelations about actual crimes and what happens. What's the conclusion? Well, call your congressman. We'll call him up. Call him up. He's probably in a hearing about WNBA officiating. So maybe he'll get back to you. Fourth, America's voting rolls are filled with dead people and non-citizens. So far as we know, 278,000 non-citizens have registered in federal election. 278,000 criminals. Now, Mark Wayne Mullen said this morning they're going to be held to account. Well, what about the criminals that invited them into the country? Because they're a little higher up, you see. What about the criminals that are out there recruiting illegals to be put on the voting rolls? It says here, Trump noted that mail-in voting is inherently corrupt, and as an example, cited California's extremely suspicious 38-day vote count following the June 2nd primaries. 38 days. And they get away with it. It's baked into the system in California. Who is the radical leftist that went over there? I think it might have been Obama's wingman. We talked about it on this show. Working with Newsom, revamping all of those election laws, the process, the procedure. They had a trial run in California before 2020 happened. California is quite good at rigging elections. They do it all the time. They do it in broad daylight. They actually embedded it into legislation. It's legal cheating in California. the final point that it makes on President Trump's speech. Election officials and agencies know about many of these problems, but routinely fail either to disclose or address them. One of the many failures is that states are sharing voting rolls to identify people who, because of relocations, are registered in two or more states. And it goes on and on. It would be depressing were it not for the truth or the hope there is in the Holy Scriptures. The fact that all of this madness will soon end. Jesus Christ will return to this earth to set up the government of God. And then you'll have all of the truth laid bare. You'll have the revelation. And most importantly, you'll have God's family government ruling and ruling like Revelation 2 and 3 says, where necessary, with a rod of iron. That's what this world needs, and it's coming. It's coming soon. That's all we have time for on today's show because we want to leave a few minutes for World Watch. I'll have to push the Celtic Throne recap back yet again, but we should have just enough time. Maybe you'll go a little bit over to finish with World Watch. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.
Germany is using Norway to conquer space, and the partnership stretches far beyond rockets. German startup Isar Aerospace will launch imaging satellites for Planet Labs Germany from Norway's Andøya spaceport as early as this year. The German military is secretly planning up to 1,200 satellites in the next few years, Handelsblatt reported on July 7th. Berlin has earmarked $40 billion for military space development through 2030. It wants to be, in its own words, a true space power. Andøya is one of only two spaceports in continental Europe. Norway and Germany signed a space cooperation mandate on April 28th, and Chancellor Friedrich Merz's first state visit to Norway in March was to the spaceport. Germany is Norway's closest and most important partner in the EU, says Norway's defense minister, who also said he talks to his German counterpart more than any other. Bible prophecy warns that a German-led European superpower would rise against the United States and Britain in the end time. This partnership between Germany and Norway is one more example of Europe uniting under Germany's lead. To learn more, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's article, Germany is Arming for World War III. French President Emmanuel Macron commenced a state visit to Damascus July 6th, actively working to restore France's historic links to Syria. Macron became the first Western leader in Syria since the overthrow of the Assad regime in 2024. The two countries agreed to exchange ambassadors and signed cooperation agreements in finance, transport, and healthcare. Also, French shipping group CMA-CGM signed a deal to manage air cargo freight at Damascus's international airport. Syria, like Lebanon, Morocco, Algeria, and Tunisia, was once part of the French colonial empire. While France still has strong cultural and political links with its other former Arab colonies, Syria under the Assad regime kept its distance. Assadist Syria, as well as Hezbollah-controlled Lebanon, used to be proxies of Iran. Prophecies in Daniel 11 and Psalm 83 foretold that they would leave Iran's orbit and become allies of Europe. Macron's visit is helping to further this prophecy's fulfillment. To learn more details about these prophecies, read The King of the South. The German Ministry of Defense aims to launch 4 military satellites as early as next year, Germany's Tagesschau wrote on July 8th, based on secret documents. They will be the first German satellites with offensive anti-satellite capabilities. The $115 million project is termed Shield and Sword, because it represents the two capabilities the 4 satellites will possess. The 2 shield satellites can spy on enemy satellites. The 2 sword satellites can disrupt the function of enemy satellites. They could be tested as soon as 2027 and are expected to be combat-ready in space in 2029, according to Süddeutsche. Modern warfare relies on satellites for troop movements, airstrike targeting, defenses against nuclear weapons, and many other needs. Militarizing space is consistent with Germany's goal to become war-ready, a goal the Bible warns it will achieve and eventually use against America. To learn more, read America's Achilles Heel and Germany. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.